Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The cats nestle close to their kittens now. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. And if you know what comes next, you've probably read the bootleg version of the already best-selling new book that's finally out with a name we can't say on the air. Let's call it Go the to Sleep. The book by Brooklyn writer Adam Mansbach is a beautifully illustrated little book. Really looks and sounds an awful lot like a typical children's bedtime book, except for the zingers tucked into the ends of every verse. Adam Mansbach joins me now to talk about parenting no-nos and becoming a sensation. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good to be here.
There are a lot of frustrated parents out there who just want their children to go the... to sleep, I guess, right?
You probably don't get to use that button that much.
Not much.
It's great.
Not certainly with authors on the actual titles of their things that look like children's books.
Yes. And yes, I think there are a lot of frustrated parents out there.
You know, there's a serious genre. I know you're having fun with this, but there is a serious genre of writers of their memoirs. They're not exactly advice books,
right?
But they're memoirs, and they're analytical about how parents don't feel permission to talk about the frustrations of being a parent. Everything has to be, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so cozy, I love my kids so much. But you know, you're up there at 11 o'clock, you've been rocking the baby since 8:30, and you just want them to go to sleep.
yeah, that's right. And a lot of the emails I'm getting from people are thanking me for making them feel less alone. They're telling me that, you know, while they're in there for 2-3 hours going crazy, wishing they could get out of the room, at least now they know that there are millions of other people similarly trapped around the planet.
We can take a few phone calls for Adam Mansbach. No swearing. But what about parenthood makes you want to curse? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Here's another example. The book looks, like I said, like a children's picture book, but it's really about the parents. Here's another verse. The flowers doze low in the meadows and high on the mountains so steep. My life is a failure. I'm a parent. Stop-ing with me, please, and sleep. This started as a Facebook post?
It did. It started with a kind of joke Facebook post on which I said, be on the lookout for my forthcoming children's book, Go the... You're not going to do the little button thing. Okay. Go the blank to sleep. And I made that joke for a couple of weeks and sort of began to contemplate how I might actually write that book, and eventually sat down and wrote it, and then got in touch with my friend Ricardo Cortez, the illustrator, who's also a Brooklyn-based guy, whose illustrations I think are, you know, magnificent and probably the best thing about the book. And we put it together.
Do you think the fact that you're a dad and not a mom has anything to do with you coming up with this book? Is this idea, you know, that a misbehaving kid means you failed, new to fathers?
I think it may certainly be more permissible for fathers to bring obscenity into the mix. I think there might have been some backlash if there had been a female author of the book. But I also think that because we associate parenthood and sleeping and all these responsibilities more closely with women, in a sense this gives fathers some new exposure or some new identity as parents.
So, listeners, you can call up and talk to Adam Mansbach, as I said, at 212-433-WNYC. You can also post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, as Linda from Brielle, New Jersey has done. She wrote, I love this book. My kids are now in their 20s, but how well we remember. My husband and I listened to the book on YouTube and had to pass it on to my mother-in-law. As I played it for her, there were tears streaming down her face. She was laughing so hard. It has now been sent to every grandparent in the Jersey Shore area via my mother-in-law's rather erratic emailing ability. It just goes to show you there was nothing new under the sun. And she concludes, you, sir, are brilliant.
Wow, that's great. It's funny, there were all of these sort of amateur audiobook versions that were posted to YouTube, some of which were great, some of which were not so great. And it's been funny to listen to everybody's interpretation. Although now we have an official audiobook coming out, which will be read by Mr. Samuel L. Jackson, which we're very excited about.
Uh-huh. So what about all these YouTube versions? I guess these were not in your control.
No.
Were some people a little too edgy, a little too gleeful with this?
Gleeful and edgy, I wouldn't have minded. Weird nasal voices and impenetrable Scottish accents were more the problem on some of these YouTube clips.
And one of the things that I alluded to in the introduction is that there's a PDF of the book that made the rounds, which could be lethal to publishing. Only it turns out everybody, in this case, actually wants to buy a paper copy.
Yeah, we were very lucky. And, you know, people have speculated that we leaked it, which we totally didn't. To show you what kind of viral marketing geniuses we were and how well, you know, we know the interwebs, we went around trying to get it off, trying to do cease and desists, which were totally unsuccessful. But luckily for us, it is the kind of book people seem to want to actually own and hold and give as a gift. And luckily for us also, it's bad form to show up, you know, and give your father for Father's Day a low-resolution, printed out, stapled together PDF that you downloaded off the internet.
Just in time for Father's Day.
Just in time.
For the father who has everything except this, I guess. The tiger reclines in the simmering jungle. The sparrow has silenced her cheep. Your stuff, bear. I'm not getting you. Close your eyes. Cut the sleep. Another page. Evan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
It's the thing. I have a 9-year-old son, and the thing that drives me nuts and makes me want to curse and makes me homicidal is whining. That he's lately picked this up as a habit, and it's just something where, and I remember when he was younger wanting him to go the bleep to sleep, and now it's just, shut the bleep up.
Thank you very much. Chris in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. What makes you want to curse?
Oh, hi, Brian. Many, many things, actually. But let me
about parenting, I mean.
I have a 2.5-year-old and a 6.5-year-old. And, the 2.5-year-old is going through the I, me, mine thing. It's like no matter what her brother picks up, she has to have it in her hands. And then they're yanking it back and forth. And he gets like, it's not fair, which is true. But he starts speaking in whiny, you know, which it's making me crazy.
Thank you very much. Your publisher is a local Brooklyn small press, Akashic. Mm-hmm. Is this their biggest hit?
I think it is, yeah. I'm very happy for them. They're a great publisher. They've been doing great books for years, and it's time they had a hit on their hands.
Had you tried a bigger house, or did you just assume you needed an edgier small one just to get published?
I didn't try any big houses, but it wasn't that I assumed I needed a smaller or edgier one. It's just that I love Akashic, and Johnny Temple, the publisher, is an old friend, and I knew he would get this book, and I am sort of into the idea of doing different projects in different ways, some with big publishers, some with small, picking the publisher according to the project. So I took it straight to him. He has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. He totally got it, and we just went from there.
Oh, now people get it, and they're calling up with the things about parenting that make them want to curse. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Laura in Chelsea, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes, hi, Brian. I'm calling because I think it's so great that it's okay to joke about how hard being a parent is. I was bouncing my 2.5-month-old baby to sleep for hours yesterday, and I felt like, all right, I'll just bounce him for 10 more minutes and then I'll smother him. And I thought, like, oh God, I'm the worst mother ever because I'm so amused by that.
You hear me laughing here, so I don't know what that makes me.
Laura, that's what I have to say to you. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely what I thought.
By the way, the sound effects device, courtesy of the folks at Radio Lab.
Ah.
Who else? And I understand you'll be doing a G-rated version?
Yeah, yeah. We realized that this book appeals to kids as well in a censored form, in the sense that they appreciate the idea of sort of a mischievous kid who won't go to bed and a story about that kid told from a parent's perspective. And at a certain age, they understand how funny it is that they are causing such havoc. So Johnny, the publisher, read it to his five-year-old in a self-censored form, and his kid thought it was great, and that made us realize we could do it.
So what is the cleaned-up version, since you can say it on the air, of the title? Go the title, what?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's to be determined. The verses I rewrote with very little trouble. The title we're still kind of tweaking.
And it's good because I think kids will love these pictures, so it seems a shame not to share.
Right.
Ricardo Cortez's illustrations are great,
yeah,
but you don't really want to know, want your kids to know how anxious you are or frustrated as a parent with them, right? Even when they're being just normally frustrating.
That's right. And that, in some ways, that's exactly what the book is about. You know, there's a dual narrative going on. One is the parent's interior monologue, which never gets expressed to the kid, and that's where all the frustration and cursing is. And the other part of it, you know, is very sweet and loving. So I think people are also responding to that. It's sort of about protecting your kid from your own frustrations in a way.
Jeff in Maplewood, what about parenting makes you want to curse?
Second child had colic, and talk about not going to sleep. I mean, this was a child who would cry for like 8 or 9 hours at a time, and it really made me understand your previous caller's comments, you know, about wanting to smother a baby. I mean, it was horrible, but eventually, thank goodness, she grew out of it, and we moved on.
Thank you very much. Rosemary in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Brian. I just want to put in, I'm a well-known children's book writer myself. I'm Rosemary Wells.
Oh, my goodness.
I worry. Yeah,
my kids have read all your books.
Thank you. I appreciate the humor in, you know, all of us wanting to strangle our screaming kids at times. I really do. But I'm very worried about an issue here, and that is we live in the age of excessive child abuse and vulgarity, and I'm very worried about this book validating the kind of talk that most of our underprivileged kids get day and night. In other words, it makes a joke out of something that's really serious in kids' lives, too much abusive talk. And I'm worried that the book validates that.
Well, I don't think that the book validates it at all. In fact, the book is explicitly about not speaking to your child this way. The book is about an internal monologue from a parent which is never expressed to the child. It's actually about sort of dealing with your own frustrations as a parent. And frankly, you know, I don't think that this book is going to impact the lives of children negatively in any way. The feedback I'm getting is overwhelmingly from people who are clearly good parents. And I think people who are not good parents, who are verbally abusing their children or are aggressive toward their children, frankly, that's a problem that pre-exists, and this book is not going to help or hurt or affect that. And that's something that should be looked at very seriously, but that this book is not going to ramify with at all.
Rosemary?
Okay. Let's hope that's true.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your work.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Do you worry, Adam, that some unsuspecting grandparent will give this book to someone who's not in on the joke? I mean, you know, this could be Goodnight Moon. It's such a sweet cover, except there is an image of a moon, a full moon, that blocks part of the offending word on the book's cover. But, you know, you could miss it.
I don't know. I feel like you'd have to be totally illiterate to miss what it actually says. And also, if you flip the book over onto the back, it actually says on the back, do not read this book to children. So we're trying to be very clear about that.
Meredith and Colts Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I was so thrilled to get a copy of this book because, and I think with regard to Ms. Wells' previous comment, I think the most dangerous thing with parents and new parents is not being able to express how you really feel. And I have a four-year-old son. You know, there's a lot about parenting that's tough. I always use the expression, it rocked my world. I never knew what to expect. And my son didn't sleep through the night until he was almost two. He was 20 months old. So having this sort of as a release valve, when I read it, I thought, oh my gosh, I wish I would have seen this back then, because it gave some credibility to these feelings that I was having. And I think it's a danger to think that everybody else is faring so well and never cursing in their head or So, you know, that's the beauty of this book. I think it's kind of healing in a way for parents because...
It's a great comment. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That's exactly what I was hoping and what we kind of set out to do there.
There's a story in the Post today about a Brooklyn children's book author who got kicked off a plane in Detroit for using the F word to complain about how long the flight attendants were taking to deal with a broken overhead bin. So a little irony there. I guess it's all about context.
It's all about context. You wouldn't catch me using that kind of language on an airplane.
And your publication party is at the New York Public Library with paid admission. That's got to be fun. And it's you and your illustrator, Ricardo Cortez, tonight at 7. And Judah Friedlander and Werner Herzog will do readings from the book.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. As you said, it's tonight at the library at 7. Hearing Werner Herzog read this book is kind of going to be a dream come true. And Judah Friedlander, who is hilarious, we're also really excited to have.
And this is going to be a movie, I'm told. How would that work?
Yeah. The film rights have been sold to Fox 2000, and 3 Arts Entertainment is producing. This is a combination that just did Water for Elephants. It'll be a live-action movie. I'm not intimately involved in it. I'll attend the premiere, but I look forward to finding out how they handle it.
It's going to be an opening feature short at X-rated theaters.
I think they're going for family-friendly, PG-rated. I don't know.
We will have to leave it there. We'll be speaking with Adam Monsbach about his new not-for-children's book, Go the... to sleep. We've got information about that launch event tonight at the New York Public Library on our website, wnyc.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Adam, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.